Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the church.
We encourage young people in the rising generation to see their own potential to build great spiritual strength.
Truly, my dear young friends, you are a chosen generation. I hope you will never forget it. I hope you will never take it for granted.
It is not by chance that you have been reserved to come to earth in this last dispensation of the fullness of times. Your birth has been foreordained in the eternities. You are youth of a noble birthright.
Thank you for joining us on For the Youth on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Kevin Whitehead. During this episode, we will be discussing a topic that applies to both young men and young women. This subject impacts each and every part of our daily lives and cannot be separated from any of our conscious choices. President Boyd K. Packer has said, "This will probably be the greatest challenge and most difficult thing you will face in mortal life. Those who can control this part of their lives can overcome habits, even degrading personal habits, can gain courage, conquer fear, and have a happy life." Today we are speaking about mastering our thoughts. So why is it so important that we learn to control our thoughts? Let's highlight four important reasons. First, the Savior taught that the first and greatest commandment was to love God, not only with all our heart and soul, but with all our mind. We keep or break God's commandment to love Him with all our mind by what we choose to think about. For example, we could break the first commandment by entertaining unkind ideas about others, replaying an unworthy image in our mind, or by forgetting God. On the other hand, we could keep the commandment by choosing to think the best of others, focusing on virtuous thoughts, or by keeping our covenant promise to the Savior to always remember Him. A second reason to control our thoughts has to do with the close connection between our mind and our body. Much of our happiness comes from the way we manage, care for, and use our physical body. Yet, if you want to discipline your body, you must first learn to control your mind. President Boyd K. Packer taught, quote, "Your mind is in charge. Your body is the instrument of your mind," close quote. As we train and sanctify our mind, we gain power to unlock, harness, and righteously govern the powers of the body. As we rely on the Lord, and as our mind and body become increasingly unified in righteousness, the more power we have to follow the example of our Savior and obtain a fullness of joy. A third reason to control our thoughts has to do with our personal mission on earth. Before coming to this earth, in agreement with foreordination to the priesthood and its blessings, those who were to come into the house of Israel made covenants that they would take the gospel to all the families of the earth. The Lord has placed each of us in a unique set of circumstances tailored for our spiritual growth. The Lord ensures that certain people are part of our lives in order to help us back to Him. Likewise, our Heavenly Father is aware of those that you can bless by helping them understand and live the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. In order for the Lord to guide you in building His kingdom on earth and to the fulfillment of your life's mission, He often communicates with you one-on-one. Though that communication may come in a variety of ways, the Lord will primarily speak to you through the power and influence of His Spirit. Doctrine and Covenants, Section 8, verses 2 through 3 states, "Yea, behold, I will tell you in your mind and in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which shall come upon you and which shall dwell in your heart. Now behold, this is the spirit of revelation." President Boyd K. Packer has observed that, quote, "The Holy Ghost communicates with our spirits through the mind more than through the physical senses," close quote. Because we need the Lord's guidance, we must continually ensure that our thoughts invite and do not repel the presence of the Holy Ghost. We should strive to obtain what the Scriptures call the mind of Christ, which is to have our thoughts guided by the Holy Ghost. By doing so, the Lord teaches us what we are to do while we're here on earth. Further, under the influence of the Holy Ghost, our understanding, our perspectives, and our thinking will continue to change and become more like our Heavenly Father's. The Spirit of God will show us how to help ourselves and others return back to dwell in the presence of God. A fourth reason to watch our thoughts is we become what we think. The scriptures teach us that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. President David O. McKay loved the saying, "Tell me what you think about when you do not have to think, and I will tell you what you are." Our thoughts are key to controlling our future. Thoughts lead to acts. Acts lead to habits. Habits lead to character, and our character will determine our eternal destiny. Additionally, the Lord knows all our thoughts and will bring them into account as an important part of our final judgment. President George Albert Smith clarified this doctrine by relating a personal experience. At 13 years of age, I went to school at the Brigham Young Academy. I cannot remember much of what was said during the year that I was there, but there was one thing that I will probably never forget. Dr. Carl G. Mazur one day stood up and said, "Not only will you be held accountable for the things you do, but you will be held responsible for the very thoughts you think." Being a boy, not in the habit of controlling my thoughts very much, it was quite a puzzle to me what I was to do, and it worried me. About a week after that, I suddenly understood what he meant. You will be held accountable for your thoughts, because when your life is completed in mortality, it will be the sum of your thoughts. That one suggestion has been a great blessing to me all my life, and it has helped me on many occasions to avoid improper thoughts, because I realize that when my life is over, I will be the product of my thoughts. My young friends, when our lives come to a close, each of us will be the product of our thoughts. Let's review what we have learned so far. First, we have been given a commandment to love God with all our mind. Second, our mind controls our bodies, and what we do with our bodies leads to happiness or misery. Third, as we remain worthy, the Lord teaches us what we need to do through our thoughts by the influence of His Spirit. Fourth, what we persistently desire and think about helps decide our eternal destiny. The Lord understands each of these truths, but so too does the adversary. The adversary is actively seeking to take hold of the thoughts of all people. The devil and his angels relentlessly seek to influence our thoughts through what we look at, what we listen to, what we read, how we dress, who we spend time with, what we talk about, and even where we spend our time. The evil one works to have us give in to temptations so as to gain greater control of our minds. President George Albert Smith warned, quote, "If you cross to the devil's side of the line 1 inch, you are in the tempter's power. And if he's successful, you will not be able to think or even reason properly because you have lost the Spirit of the Lord." Close quote. President Boyd K. Packer added,
"That the tempter, the adversary, uses those same channels of the mind and heart to inspire us to evil, to laziness, to contention, even to acts of darkness. He can take over our thoughts and lead us to mischief. But each of us has agency. Ever and always light presides over darkness."
So where does a person start if they want to change the way they think? Some would say that if you want to control your thoughts, it's merely a matter of willpower. Just do it. Think positive. Meditate. Focus. Crowd out the bad with the good, and so forth. While each of these suggestions can truly be helpful, we need to start somewhere deeper, somewhere more basic, your nature. A person's nature consists of those basic qualities that make up their spirit, mind, and body. A person's nature includes their disposition, appetites, and passions. Nature also refers to things like a person's temperament or the way a person is prone to think. A person's nature is the fountain of their thoughts, desires, words, and behavior. Each of us has a dual nature. We have a divine side of us, which we inherited from our heavenly parents. This is the part of us that yearns for spiritual things. This is the part of us that deeply desires to have a close relationship with our Heavenly Father. This is the longing within to live a righteous life and to return to the presence of God. On the other hand, when Adam and Eve fell by partaking of the forbidden fruit, they were cut off from the presence of the Lord and became carnal, sensual, and devilish by nature. Our own sins have brought about our own personal fall. We too are cut off from the presence of God, and our natures have become carnal, sensual, and devilish. This very real side of us gravitates to sin, worldliness, and the fulfillment of physical appetites. This side of us is sometimes referred to as the natural man. Our thoughts and desires are impacted in significant ways by our fallen nature. How can we maintain pure and uplifting thoughts when our fallen nature makes it so easy to do the opposite? It is only possible through a change of nature. Elder David A. Bednar explained,
"This mighty change is not simply the result of working harder or developing greater individual discipline. Rather, it is the consequence of a fundamental change in our desires, our motives, and our natures, made possible through the atonement of Christ the Lord."
By the power and gift of the Holy Ghost, the Lord brings the blessings of the atonement to our souls and transforms our fallen nature. When we feel the influence of the Holy Ghost, Elder Henry B. Eyring taught, we can also feel that our natures are being changed because of the atonement of Jesus Christ. We feel an increased desire to keep His commandments, to do good, and to deal justly. Obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel make it possible for us to receive the Holy Ghost and for it to sanctify us and change our natures so that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do and think good continually. It is interesting to note that the Greek word for repentance used in Scripture denotes a change of mind, a fresh view about God, about oneself, and about the world. Exercising faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of all of our sins, keeping sacred covenants, acting on the promptings we receive from the Holy Ghost, and enduring to the end are the most important things we can do if we want to control our thoughts. As we strive to live the gospel and guide our thoughts in righteousness, there are additional principles that will empower us to qualify for the mighty change of heart and mind the Lord wants for us. Let's finish our discussion with three guidelines. Number one, diligently searching the Word of God helps our thoughts become more like our Heavenly Father's. One significant message of the Book of Mormon is that the Word of God has a more powerful effect on the minds of people than anything else. To clarify, when a person receives light, inspiration, and instruction from the Holy Ghost by reading Scripture, that revelation has a tremendous effect on the mind for good. James E. Faust stated, quote, "I believe reading the Scriptures is the best washing machine for unclean or uncontrolled thoughts," close quote. If you want to improve your thoughts, make a habit of regularly immersing yourself in your Scriptures. Number two, prayer provides power to turn away from unworthy thoughts. In the middle of some of the most difficult and temptation-filled hours of His life, the Savior urged His disciples, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." In other words, if we fail to make sincere prayer a regular part of our day, it is not a matter of if, but when we will give into temptation. Conversely, the Lord has promised those that pray always strength to resist temptation and come off conqueror in their personal battles against sin. When I was working my way through college, I took a job cleaning one of the buildings on campus. I would wake at 4 o'clock in the morning to be to work before 5 a.m. During that summer, I was taking a heavy class load and spent a good deal of time doing homework. Additionally, there were a great many nights that I did not get to bed very early at all because of social activities. Needless to say, I slowly but surely became sleep deprived. By the end of the summer, I was constantly and sometimes dangerously tired. One morning, I was assigned to dust a quiet part of the building. I was alone, and it was very still. I was dragging myself from office to office, cleaning and literally fighting a battle not to fall asleep on my feet. In this particular area of the building, there were several padded benches, any one of which would have made a fine bed. There were so few employees in the building at that time of the morning that it was unlikely that anyone would ever know if I chose to stop and take a nap. More than anything, I just wanted to sleep. However, I had been taught, ever since I was a young boy, to be completely honest and to give a full day's work to my employer. To take an unscheduled break was, in a sense, robbing the university that employed me. Yet, as I continued to work, the temptation to stop and take a short nap became overwhelming. As I felt my willpower disintegrating, I began to pray. I did not pray out loud, but spoke to the Lord in my heart and in my mind. Amongst other things, I expressed to the Lord my desire to be honest and honorably finish my shift. For the next several minutes, no strength came, and my prayers seemed unanswered. The temptation became worse, and I felt my body demanding me to give in and lay down somewhere anywhere. At perhaps the most intense moment of this battle within myself, I pleaded once again for the strength to finish. But if it was not to come, I committed to the Lord that I would continue to work, even if I fell over from exhaustion. The moment that I made that decision, I felt the Spirit of the Lord come over me. I felt strength being poured into every part of my body. I immediately felt more alert and awake than I had the entire morning. I felt a great sense of relief. I immediately began to thank the Lord for hearing and answering my prayers. As I expressed my gratitude, the words of the hymn, "How Firm a Foundation," came to my mind. "Fear not, I am with thee. O be ye not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand." I was reminded that day that if we will earnestly pray and not cease to call upon the Lord, He will come to us in our hour of temptation. Number 3, eliminate sources of evil or unworthy thoughts in your life. The old saying, "You are what you eat," is true of thoughts as well. Whatever you read, listen to, or look at has an effect on you. Therefore, choose only entertainment and media that uplifts you. Good entertainment will help you have good thoughts and make righteous choices. It will allow you to enjoy yourself without losing the Spirit of the Lord. Music, for example, has an especially strong influence on the mind. President Boyd K. Packer taught, quote, "Unworthy raucous music can weaken your defense and allow unworthy thoughts into your mind and pave the way to unworthy acts. There is even some music created under the influence of the adversary which can be just as damaging and devastating as pornography. Avoid this kind of music. It will rob you of the presence of the Holy Ghost." A good test for any media is a simple question. What does it make me think about? Our Heavenly Father has invited us to come unto Christ and be perfected in Him and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. The real question is not whether heavy metal is worse than hard rock or whether certain TV programs are worse than certain movies. If we wish to avoid being poisoned spiritually, we must ask, is this music, movie, TV show, or literature ungodly? For example, does it leave me feeling unworthy to approach my Heavenly Father in sincere prayer? On the other hand, worthy music is powerful and can help you control your thoughts. President Boyd K. Packer counseled, quote, "Make wholesome music of all kinds part of your life. Then learn what sacred music has to do with revelation. Choosing music that is pleasing to the Lord brings great blessings." Sarah, a seminary student, shared her experience. "I used to listen to music at every possible moment. It got me up for seminary and then on to school. I couldn't drive unless I had a CD to play. The thing was, the music I listened to was not happy. It wasn't necessarily bad, but it didn't make me feel good. I listened to it because it was cool, and because I always listened to it, I never felt good. It changed my attitude about everything I did, the way I saw the world and the people in it. I didn't know how to get out of this cycle of negative emotion. It was part of my identity, and there seemed to be no way out. When my brother left on his mission, I was impressed by his willingness to adhere to the strict lifestyle so readily. He wouldn't be able to choose what he wanted to read or listen to for 2 years. I thought about my music and how I could be doing so much better. I decided that if he could go 2 years only listening to hymns and primary songs, then I could at least reconsider my own listening habits. It was hard, but I immediately gave away some of my CDs and threw away others. The music that I was so attached to was part of my high school identity, but thinking about my brother's example gave me courage and resolve to change. For 9 months straight, I listened to nothing but classical, instrumental, and easy listening. I noticed very quickly that I was happier. I thought more clearly, and my day seemed to go smoother. I was prepared to feel the Spirit and learn in seminary each morning. My entire outlook on life changed for the better. After my brother returned, I gradually started listening to some popular music, but I gravitated to positive, upbeat, and clean songs. Going through that musical cleansing period made me more sensitive to how music affected the way I thought and felt. I chose music that made me feel good instead of what was considered popular or cool. I know that these choices brought the Spirit back into my life, and because I have the Spirit with me, I feel lighter, happier, and I'm able to enjoy life more fully." Close quote. President J. Reuben Clark said once, quote, "My rule now is never read anything that is not worth remembering." I have personally expanded that rule to never read, watch, or listen to anything that is not worth remembering. In conclusion, we might sum up all that has been said thus far by the prophet Jacob's powerful declaration, "To be spiritually minded is life eternal." There is a good way to remember this principle. It's the acronym SMILE. Spell out the word SMILE vertically and you'll have it. S, spiritually. M, minded. I, is. L, life. And E, eternal. Spiritually minded is life eternal. Remember this truth each time you smile. I know that the Lord can dispel the temptations of the adversary. He can free us from the chains of sin. The Lord can heal our hearts and our minds. He can lift us from the dreary thoughts that accompany depression. He can help drive out the fears that paralyze us from going forward with faith. Christ can help us use our intellectual gifts to build His kingdom. He can help us understand even the most difficult subjects in school. He can open our minds to the truths of eternity. Through the merits, mercy, and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our thinking can change. We can change. Virtue can truly garnish our thoughts unceasingly. And as it does, our confidence will wax strong in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for joining us on For the Youth on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. To download this episode, visit MormonChannel.org. Thanks for listening.